If you have your Bible and would like to share the Word of God with me, we're going to read from the book of Ephesians. So if you, however you access God's Word, if it's on a tablet or on your phone or whatever the case may be, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to read beginning with the 14th verse. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with the 14th verse. Thank you, Lord. The Apostle Paul is the one that is writing. He's writing to the church in Ephesus. And he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might or power by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and the length, the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all," everybody say all of "the fullness of God, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout ages, world without end. Amen." And I'm going to just stop reading right there at the end of that chapter. Ask you to bow your heads and let us pray once more. Ask the Lord to help us with the delivery and the ministry of the Word. Heavenly Father, I am so grateful. I'm so grateful for the touch of your Holy Spirit that I feel. Thank you that as we worshiped and as we praised in song, that you have made yourself known here among us. And we come now, Lord, to the reading of the Word and the ministry of the Word, and I freely acknowledge that of my own ability, I am incapable of being effective and being effective in the ministry of the Word. But I know beyond any shadow of any doubt that if you will anoint me and if you will touch me, if you will give me divine capability, then Father, you will make me an able minister of your Word. I pray that you would put your Word in my mind and in my mouth. Let it come forth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Ghost. Let Jesus be glorified here in this place. And let the people of God and those that say amen be blessed and edified through the Word of the Lord. And for all of these things this morning, we will be forever grateful. We ask them now, bless me to be a blessing. We ask these things now in the name of Jesus, and everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. Granted, Lord. So I want to title my message this morning, "The Power That Works in Us." The power that works in us. Let me start this morning by just making a few statements for us to contemplate. The possibility of the impossible. The attainability of the impossible. The possible of the impossible. And you may be thinking to yourself, Pastor Gary, that's a complete contradiction. It's a complete contradiction and an outright contradictory statement. If something is impossible, then it cannot be achieved. I mean, if something is impossible, then it can't be possible. It can't be done. It can't happen. It cannot come to pass. However, I submit to you this morning that according to God's word, that when God gets involved, the impossible becomes the possible. When God gets involved, the impossible becomes the possible. When God gets involved, water gets turned into wine. When God gets involved, amen, water or H2O becomes a surface that you can walk upon. Hello? When God gets involved, five loaves and two fish become more than enough to feed a multitude. When God gets involved, barren women become the joyful mother of children. When God gets involved, a man that's been dead for 4 days gets up out of the grave and comes forth, amen, at his command. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? When God gets involved, blind eyes begin to open and deaf ears begin to hear. Sinners become saints and captives are set free. I know I was one of them. When God gets involved, the impossible becomes the possible. And things that were once dead and dried up, amen, are made new and set free by the power of his might. The Bible asks the question. It was the Lord who spoke to Abraham and Sarah. And the Bible asks the question in Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The Bible answers that question in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse number 17. The mouth of the prophet Jeremiah said, "Oh Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth with your outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Jesus said it this way in Matthew 19 and 26. He said, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Mark 9 and 23, Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." What I'm saying this morning is that Scripture makes it absolutely clear, amen, that when God gets involved, all things become achievable, all things become attainable, all things become reachable, and all things become possible with God. And the good news this morning that I have for you is that God knows what your need is, amen, and he knows how to minister and meet the need of your life here today. If I were to ask for a show of hands, I won't, but if I were to ask for a show of hands, how many are facing an impossibility? I would imagine that just about every hand in the building would be able to be lifted, because we all face challenges. We all face situations and circumstances that challenge our faith. Hello? We all at times face impossibility. Even you, Pastor Gary, put me at the head of the line. Hello? Amen. Some of us are facing impossible situations and impossible circumstances, and some are facing impossible health issues, and the doctors do not have an answer. Some are facing impossible financial, amen, situations in their life. But the good news that I want to bring to you this morning is that we serve a God that doesn't flinch at the impossible. We serve a God, amen, that looks at the impossible impossible and calls those things that are not as though they were. Hallelujah. I got to slow down. I haven't even got to my introduction yet. So a few weeks ago, I was reading an article concerning what some folks used to call an impossibility. Let me share with you some of the statements from some of these very widely read publications, newspapers, magazines from years gone by. In their day, these publications were considered to be highly intelligent, highly touted publications, widely read, highly respected. And listen to what the experts or the authorities had to say about what they thought was impossible. The first one that I read was in 1840. In a notable publication, they reported with complete confidence, and I quote, "Anyone traveling at the speed of 30 miles an hour would surely suffocate." How many of you made it to church this morning traveling more than 30 miles an hour? In 1878, the British Parliament, not just one individual, but the whole British Parliament, dismissed Thomas Edison's electric lamp, saying, and I quote, "Electric lights are unworthy of serious consideration, and they are unworthy of our attention." How many of you are glad that somebody thought it might be possible? A well-known physicist, his name was Lord Kelvin. He was a president of Britain's prestigious Royal Society. Here's a few statements from a magazine interview. He said, first of all, that radio had no future. That machines that are heavier than air would prove to be impossible to fly. And that X-rays would eventually be proven to be a hoax. Another leading scientist said, this is a foolish idea of shooting a man at the moon is basically impossible. In 1930, a leading scientist said, to harness the energy that is locked up in matter is impossible. By the way, let me just remind you, every time you fill up your gas tank, you are filling it up with matter. Matter, the gasoline, amen? You hear what I'm saying? In 1889, the director of the United States Patent Office urged President William McKinley to close down the patent office. Because he said, and I quote, "Everything that can be invented has been invented." I don't know if he was a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent, but I know he was wrong. Right? Who would have ever thought? I remember when I was a young guy and the first cell phones came out, they were big as a boot. Right? And not everybody had one. Who would have thought that everybody would carry not just a phone, but a little computer around on their hip or in their purse? Amen. Thank God that somebody was willing to believe for the impossible. Beloved, I'm reading these statements, and as I read these statements, I couldn't help but think that the real tragedy is not that these people were wrong in their assessment, but the real tragedy was that about 99% of those that heard them make these statements believe them. Right? How many of you know that's just like the enemy? He will come by and tell you that you can't be saved and you can't be healed and you can't live a godly life and you can't live and you can't do this and you can't. I got good news. By the power of the Holy Ghost, you can. Understand that there have always been doubters, and there will always be doubters and disbelievers and those that say that it can't be done, even in the realm of Christianity. But I want you to know this morning, that God wants us to have faith in Him and know that He can do the impossible. It brings me to my text this morning. And the first thing that I want to point out to you in the scriptures that we have read is that the text that we have read is a prayer of the Apostle Paul. Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus. He is praying for the church, and he's telling them exactly what he is praying for them in our text. So with that in mind, I invite you to just take a closer look with me to what Paul prays for the body of Christ. First of all, look at verse 14 again and verse 15. Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He's saying, this is what drives me to my knees. This is what drives me to my knees. I bow my knee so that I can lift you up in prayer. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. The God's Word translation says it this way. This is the reason that I kneel in the presence of the Father. Paul is saying, this is the reason, this is what drives me to my knees so that I can pray this prayer for you. And then he begins to pray. Look at verse 16 and verse 17. He says, "My prayer is that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might or power by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love." So notice that the first thing that he prays for them is that God would strengthen them with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you this morning, we can do nothing of ourselves. We must have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We can do nothing of ourselves, but we must be, if we are going to be effective in anything for God, then we must have and we must be walking in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I came to tell somebody this morning that it is not by our might, it is not by our power, but it is by His Spirit, says the Lord. If we're going to live an effective Christian life, we've got to live it by way of the power of the Holy Ghost. If we're going to be an effective witness for the Lord, we've got to witness through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I need the anointing of the Lord in my life. And my prayer for you this morning is that God would strengthen us with the power of His might. The power of His might. Stop and think about that for a minute. His might is not limited. The power of His might, that phrase comes from two Greek words that when put together, they literally mean that no one can serve God adequately without the help and the ability of the Holy Spirit. So understand that the first thing that Paul prays for them is that they would be strengthened with power and anointing of the Holy Spirit that would give them divine unction and divine abilities. My prayer for all of us this morning is that we might be filled supernaturally, empowered by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Secondly, Paul prays for them, and he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. It doesn't mean that they weren't believers. It doesn't mean that they weren't already Christians. This doesn't mean that Christ did not already dwell in their heart. What Paul is expressing is the idea of a permanent dwelling place, a permanent dwelling of the presence of Christ in their lives, as opposed to a temporary experience. How many of you know you must be found abiding in the vine in order to produce fruit? Hello? No, because you can't produce fruit absence of the vine. You got to be abiding in the vine to produce godly fruit. You hear what I'm saying? If you ain't abiding in the vine, you're going to produce the fruit of the flesh. I call it the fruit of Gary. It ain't very pleasant. Hello? You hear what I'm saying? But if you're gonna produce godly fruit, you gotta be abiding in the vine. Paul is saying, amen, he's expressing the idea of dwelling in a permanent place, amen, of residency with the Lord. He's sharing that the idea that believers should maintain a consistent experience and a constant relationship, amen, abiding in Jesus Christ. And he goes on to add that this relationship needs to be rooted and grounded in love. Paul was concerned that we as believers should be rooted and grounded in love. How many of you remember the words of Jesus? He said, "By this will all men know that you are my disciples." What was it? If you talk in tongues? No. What was it? If you have love one for another. He said, that's the telltale sign. If you're walking in love, people will be able to look at you and know that you are my disciple. What I'm saying this morning is that Paul is praying for them to be rooted and grounded in love. And my prayer for Elevation Worship Center is that we would be rooted and grounded in love, that we not only love our God, but that we love one another and treat one another with loving kindness and with respect, and treat one another as we would like to be treated ourselves. So the first thing that he prays for them is to experience the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The second thing that he prays is that they would be in a dynamic personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when others came in contact with him, they would come in contact with God's love. Lord, let that be the case for me. He continues to pray. As he continues to pray, look at verses 18 and verse 19. He says, rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. I love that. That you would know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. His love for us is so great and so mighty that our mind cannot grasp it. It passes all understanding. That ye, he says, might be filled with all of the fullness of God. Let's break it down. The third thing that he prays for is for them to receive the knowledge of God's love, but not just a knowledge of God's love. He's saying, I'm praying that you will experience God's love. You will experience God's love. He says, I want you to be able to comprehend what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height and the overwhelming richness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the overwhelming fullness of the love of God. I mean, you know, when the Bible got ready to describe God, it could only say, God is love. That's him. He is love. He prays for their understanding and for their revelation of the goodness of God. He's saying, I don't just want you to know about God's love, but I want you to experience God's love for yourself. How many of you have experienced God's love for yourself? It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. He is saying that, amen, God's love is like exploring a diamond mine. The further you go and the deeper you go, the more treasure that you uncover. Amen. The old saints used to put it this way. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Hello? Amen. The more I walk with him and the more I fellowship with him, the more I see my need for him and the more I recognize his love and his mercy and his grace that he poured out upon me. Amen. Paul is saying, I'm praying for you that you would know the love of Christ that passes all knowledge and all understanding. By using these terms, Paul is saying that the love of Christ is eternal and infinite. It is without beginning and it is without end. It is without measure and it continues on and on and on. How many of you here this morning have ever felt like you were saved and you walk with the Lord and you feel like you fall and fall and fall and surely at some point God is just going to thumbtack you to the wall? I got good news for you. That's not God. He just keeps picking you up, keeps brushing you off, and keeps dusting you off and says, get up, go, and sin no more. Amen. He just keeps over and over pouring out his love upon us. Hallelujah. His love is deeper and wider and higher and wider than anything we have ever known. And then Paul says, I want you, fourth thing he prays for, that they would be filled with all of the fullness of God. Stop and think about that prayer. What an impossibility. I said, what an impossibility that we could be filled with all of the fullness of God. Let me ask you a question. How big is God? If you know some theology, you know that God is omnipresent. Break that word down, and it simply means that no matter where you go in this universe, God is there. That's what that means, omnipresent. He is everywhere. David said, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I went down to the depths of the sea, you are there. No matter where I go, you are there. He is everywhere. In fact, if you got to the edge of the universe where time and matter cease to exist, God would still be there. He keeps going and going and going and going. He has no boundaries. How great is God? Let's use another theological term, omnipotent. What does that mean, Pastor Gary? It means simply that God can do whatever he wants, wherever he wants, whenever he wants, and however he wants. He's God. He is all powerful. So let me just share with you this morning, with God's omnipresence and God's omnipotency in mind, think of what Paul is saying here in verse 19. He is praying that you and I, a tiny speck of flesh, amen, insignificant in this universe or compared to this universe. He's saying, I'm praying that you would be filled with all of the fullness of God. How in the world can I fit all of him in little old me? Hello? Paul says, I'm praying for an impossible thing. I'm praying that you would be filled with all of the fullness of God. Stop and think for a moment about everything that God has filled us with and everything that he has filled our hearts with. Beloved, the fullness of God in Christ, with the fullness of God in Christ, we have a love that cannot be fathomed. We have a life that can never die. Jesus said, if you believe on me, you will never die. We have a righteousness that can never be tarnished, because it is not our righteousness that saves us, but it is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have a peace that cannot be understood. Amen. Peter said that it's joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. Amen. We have a peace that cannot be understood. We have a rest that cannot be disturbed, and a joy that can never be diminished. And it is the joy of the Lord that is our strength. We have a hope that can never be disappointed. We have a glory that can never be clouded. We have a light that can never be darkened. We have a purity that can never be defiled, because it's in the blood of Christ. We have a beauty that can never be marred, a wisdom that can never be baffled, and resources that will never be exhausted, all because of our relationship with Christ Jesus. I want you to be filled with all of the fullness of God. It says, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you be empowered with the Holy Spirit. I'm praying that you have a personal, ongoing, intimate relationship with Christ. I'm praying that you will receive revelation and knowledge and experience God to the fullness. And then he says in verse number 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. According to the power that works in us. That verse can be broken down into two sections. The first section is what I would call, you know, chapter 3, verse 20a. Now unto him. If we really want to break it down, we'd have to stop at the word now. When does he want to give us all of these things? Now. Not in the glory, you know, in the old days, in the good old days, not in the sweet by and by, right now. Right here, right now. Present tense. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. Let's stop right there and we'll pick up in a minute. So Paul said in Ephesians 3:20a, you think I've asked for things that are impossible? You think that I have prayed that you be filled with all of the fullness of God, that you walk in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and all of these things that I've prayed. So you think that I am asking for the impossible. Just so you know, he is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we could ask or think. So everything that I prayed, he's not just able to do that. He's able to do exceeding, abundant, and above all that I have asked on your behalf. His power is not limited. God is able, in the Greek, it literally means super abundantly, above the greatest abundance that we could ask or think. He's saying in verse 20, able to do exceeding abundantly more. That phrase, exceeding abundant above all, comes from the Greek word, which is actually a double compound verb. I don't want to lose anybody with the technicality of it, but I'll give you an English example. An English example. Take the word hero. It's a standalone word, right? Let's compound it once by saying superhero. Let's compound it the second time by saying mega superhero. That's what Paul's saying here in the Greek. He's saying he's not just able to do what I've asked, but he's able to do exceeding abundant and above not just hero, not just superhero, but mega superhero. He's able to do exceeding and abundant above everything that we could ask or think. Well, I have got to tell you, I've got a pretty good imagination. I got some things inside me that I'd like to see God do. Hello? How about you? Would you like to see God save some of your loved ones? Would you like to see God save, amen, some of those wayward grandchildren, some of those wayward children? Would you like to see God heal your body? Well, I got news for you this morning. He's able to do that and more. Amen. He's saying that in him there is no lack. There is no weakness. There is no kryptonite. Hello? In him there is no deficiency, no insufficiency, no inadequacy. He is omnipotent, all-powerful, unmatched, incomparable, unsurpassed, sovereign, and supreme. He is God. He is God, and he is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think. But we get to chapter 3, verse 20b, the second part of that verse. And it says, according to the power that works in us. Let me just share with you this morning that the only thing that limits God is us. That's it. Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. Jesus said, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and if you doubt not in your heart, but believe that the things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you saith. Mark 11, 24. You can look it up later if you like. That is powerful. The only thing that limits him is the power that is working in us. The power that is working in us. So I ask you this morning, and this is where the Holy Spirit wanted me to bring this sermon. What is the power that is working in us? I submit to you this morning that it is either one of two things. It is either the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit or the power of unbelief. That's it. If we are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, then it is, amen, a combination of the power of God that God has put within us, the power of the Spirit strengthening us, the power of Christ indwelling us, and the power of love working in us, and the power of understanding who we are in Christ Jesus and who God is, and it is the power of the fullness of His presence. It is the power of His Word and the power of His faith operating down on the inside of us. Or it is the power of doubt and fear, uncertainty, and unbelief. We are either walking in one of the two. You hear what I'm saying? We're either walking in one of the two. The only thing that limits God is us. Last week when my son Houston spoke, he spoke in his message and he touched upon the 12 spies that were sent into the land of promise to spy out the land. How many of you remember that story? So Moses, they get to the bank of the Red Sea. Moses sends in 12 spies. He says, I want you to go check it out. Not to see if we can take it, but to make a battle plan, to find out where the cities were. When they all came back, 10 of those individuals, the Bible says, give an evil report. Why was it an evil report? Because it was a report of doubt and unbelief. They said, oh, yeah, it's a good land, but there are giants over there. We can't have it. And everybody believed their evil report, and because of it, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. One of the saddest scriptures in God's word is found in Psalms chapter 78, verse 41. It's one of the most heartbreaking scriptures. This is what it says. It says, yea, they turned back and they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. The psalmist is talking about them standing at the bank of the Red Sea, believing an evil report, and they turned back and they resisted God's will. Amen. And they would not go in because of their unbelief and because of the power that was working in them, the power of doubt and fear and unbelief. They turned back and they limited God. And they did not inherit what God said they could have. My son mentioned the other two gentlemen, Joshua and Caleb. They were of a different spirit. They had a different spirit. What was that spirit? They had the power of something else working in them. They had the power of faith. They said, hey, if God said we could have it, let's go get it. If God said we could have it, then it's ours. Well, let me just point out to you this morning, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, all of those that wouldn't go in died off. And you know who got to go in? Amen. Joshua and Caleb. Yeah, Caleb was 80 years old, but he said, I am just as able today as I was 40 years ago to go in and take the promise of God. What I'm saying this morning is the power that's working in us. What is that power? Are we allowing the power of God's Holy Spirit and faith to rule in our hearts? Or are we allowing the power of doubt and fear to cause us, to keep us from everything that God desires to put into our lives? Let me just tell you this morning that He is able to do exceeding abundant above all. That means that He can do it with His eyes closed. He can do it with one hand tied behind His back. Hello? Amen. He can do it. Everything that we can ask, everything that we can think. If you have an impossibility in your life, let me just share with you that it may be impossible for you, but all things are possible with God. If you can imagine it, if you can think it, if you can pray about it, God is able to do that and more. Amen. I encourage you this morning, take your impossible situation to the Lord. Ask Him to handle it. You don't have to tell Him how to handle it. Just leave it in His hands and let Him handle it. Amen. The power that created the universe, the power that abides within the Holy Spirit is the power that abides in us. Don't allow doubt and fear and unbelief and uncertainty to rob you of seeing God do the impossible in your life. Don't allow doubt and fear to rob you of seeing God do the impossible in your life. Let me conclude this morning. Here are four ways to apply what I'm trying to get across to you this morning. Number one, the first thing that we can do to apply what we have heard is don't feel guilty, or don't be guilty. Don't allow yourself to not receive because you haven't asked. Sometimes we don't pray and we don't ask because we just think it's too impossible to begin with. Don't be guilty of not receiving because you haven't gone to the Lord in prayer about it. James 4:2 says that we have not because we ask not. Hello? We have not because we ask not. We ask and do not receive because we ask amiss to consume it upon our own lust. Don't be guilty of that. But don't be afraid to ask. He said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asks receives. Everyone that seeks finds. Everyone that knocks, it's open to them. Don't be, amen, guilty of not asking. As a loving father, he'll give good gifts to his children if we ask. We may not always understand his purpose. We may not always understand what he is up to, but we should never doubt his ability, and we should never doubt his goodness toward us. Number two, don't be guilty of not receiving because you doubt God's ability or his willingness to give. Nothing is impossible. Number three, don't be guilty of praying small prayers. Hello? Don't be guilty of praying small prayers. You mean, no, wait a minute, Pastor Gary, you mean don't be praying short prayers? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, don't desire up here and then aim down here. Going, well, I believe him for this, but I don't know about that. You understand what I'm saying? Don't pray for crutches when you can pray for wings. Did that help you? Amen. Sometimes we look at situations and we go, well, God, you know, I believe you could and might do that, so I'll pray that. I don't want to be disappointed. No, God is saying, come to us. I'm able to do exceeding abundant above all that you could ask or think. Unload. Give it to me. I got it. You don't have to make it happen. I can make it happen. Don't be afraid to ask God for great things in your life. Number four, pray for yourself and for this church that the glory of God would do through us that which is humanly unexplainable. Pray that God will allow us to be a light like a city that is set up on a hill that cannot be hid, that others would see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Elevation Worship Center is not about Pastor Gary. Elevation Worship Center is not just about you. It is about Jesus Christ and exalting and lifting up the Lord and causing others to see his light and his glory. It's his church, not ours. Pray for the power of God to see sinful souls converted to Jesus Christ. Pray that those will come to the Lord and come to repentance, and that holiness and that righteousness would be exalted. Pray that he will be glorified in our lives and in our midst. Do not allow doubt and unbelief. Don't let the power that works in you be the power of doubt and fear and unbelief. Trust God. I loved her testimony today. Crystal, you bless me. I loved her testimony today. Oftentimes, we pray about something and, you know, we're like, oh, I don't want to be disappointed, and We ceased to pray about it, and God said, I heard you anyhow. I got this anyway. I'm going to show you that I am faithful who promised. Amen. What I'm saying this morning is God is able to do more than you can imagine. Turn him loose. Turn him loose in your life. Turn him loose by the power that works in you. Don't allow that power to be doubt and unbelief. Let it be, amen, the power of faith and the power of his word and the power of his spirit. Turn him loose and let him do the impossible in your life. He's able to heal from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. He's able to meet financial needs. He's able to do things you don't even know how to pray. I remember years ago, and I'm going to close with it. I remember years ago, I was preaching a revival in Red Bluff, California. There was an elderly lady there in the church. She lived in Clear Lake, California, down by Kelseyville. And she lived right on a state highway. And the state of California had sent her a letter explaining eminent domain, and they were going to kick her off of her property, and they were going to take her little home, and they were going to expand this particular part of the highway. She came to the revival service. It was on a Monday night, and she said, I'm going to court on Thursday. She said, I want you to just pray with me that somehow, I don't want to move. I've lived there ever since, you know, my husband and I, that he's gone on to be with the Lord. I've lived there, and I don't know how to, I don't even know where I'd go. They're not offering me all that much for the property. I just want to just pray God will do something. I said, okay, sis, let's pray. I didn't even know how to pray. I don't know that much about eminent domain. I don't know that much about, you know, how the state of California goes about kicking people off their property or any of that kind of stuff. But here's what I prayed. I said, okay, Lord, she's going to be going to court on Thursday. I don't know how. I don't know how you can work it out, but when she gets there, just let the other side stand up and say, we just want to forget it. Forget the whole thing. We're just going to drop the case. When I prayed, she kind of looked at me like, uh-huh. You know what happened on Thursday? She came back shouting in the back door. She said, you got to hear what happened. I said, what happened? She said, we walked into court, the other side walked in, the judge called everything to order, and the other side's counsel got up and said, Your Honor, we just want to forget the whole thing. Hello? He's able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. All I can tell you is turn him loose. If you think I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to me too. Turn him loose. Let him be God. Don't try to keep him in a box. Don't try to tell him this is where you can go and this is what you can do in my life and I believe you for this. No, he's able to do more than that. Bow your heads. I got to close. I got to hush, as they say in Texas. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. My God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Those of us that are facing impossible situations, you are able to do more than we can even ask or think. According to the power that works in us, I pray this morning that you would allow that power to be the power of faith and the power of your Holy Spirit. That word power in the Greek is dunamis. It means power like a stick of dynamite. Let your power work within us to do the impossible. Not that we might be exalted, but that your name might be glorified. That others will see the power of God manifest in the lives of your children. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Are you here this morning and you would say, Pastor Gary, I have an impossible situation and I want to believe God for it this morning. Would you slip up your hand and say, that's me. Yes, 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 yes. I have an impossible situation, circumstance. I have an impossible need. I want to believe God for it today. Anybody else, you'd lift up your hand and say, that's me. Those of you that lifted your hand, come and stand, please, right here in front of the sanctuary. Make your way to the front. If you lifted your hand, just please come and stand. We're just going to share a prayer together. Glory to God. Glory to God. You're coming before the Ancient of Days. You're coming before the Almighty God. In Him there is no weakness. In Him there is no lack. He is able to do exceeding and abundant above all that we ask or think. All I can do this morning is encourage you to turn Him loose. I want you just to slip your hands up toward heaven this morning, and I want you to tell Him, God, You got this. You got this. You undertake. I can't do anything about it. I can't change it. I can't make it any better. You have the power. Right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that You will heal those that are sick and afflicted in their body. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that You would, amen, pick up those and encourage those who are discouraged in their spirit and facing circumstances. Let the answer be on the way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, do what only You can do. Do the impossible. Do what it would be easy for You to do. Exceeding and abundant above all that we could ask or think. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.